Please take your Bibles and turn to Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. I want to ask you this morning, how's your memory? Ooh, it's kind of a groan there. Yes, you're challenged on quizzes and tests with your memory, but how would you rate your memory? In fact, let me just take a minute here and talk about memory. You know, our founder, Dr. Cederholm, was known for having an incredible memory. I was just a little kid. My 10-year older than I sister came to college here, and there were two brothers in between. But whenever I came, he was there and would say, "Well, yes, sir, Peter, good to see you there today. I hope you'll be here at college in a few years." Knew my name, knew people all over the country's name. Absolutely incredible memory. How's your memory? In fact, let's test it this morning. Let's see, who can I pick on here? Colton, would you help me? Would you come up here for a second? Great, just right on over here. And I've got the wireless on here. So I'm just going to test your memory. I'm basically going to give you some words, and then I'm going to ask you just to give them back to me, okay? Pretty simple memory test, okay? So go look up at the screen, because there's nothing there, okay? I'm going to give you the word. First word is word. Got it? And then teacher, and you're going to need to go in order, okay? Envelope, angry, Mr. Z, vacation, note, airline, list, and pink. Okay, now in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to give me those back in order, just to test how his memory is, okay? You got it? All right, what's the first word?
Word.
Very good, he got the first word. It's word, good. Number two?
Teacher.
Excellent.
Envelope.
Good.
Mr. Z.
I missed one. Okay, go on, Mr. Z. All right, go on.
I think there was an airplane in there somewhere. And
wow. Okay, you got four. And it wasn't airplane, it was airline. Okay, but good. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. All right, good. Let's try something. Maybe, boss, would you help me?
No, no.
Yeah, come on. You want to try? Come on up here. Just, We'll give him a list here. Now, this is a well-honed mind here,
oh, yes.
So,
yeah, well-honed.
And could lose my job here, too. But here we go. Your first word is stamp.
Stamp.
Tree.
Tree.
Snow. Rubber band. Commentary.
Ooh.
Yo-yo. Sick. Hopeless. Danger. Dry. Okay? Got him?
No.
All right, first word.
Stamp.
Good. All right.
Tree.
Good.
Rubber band.
Missed one.
Oh. I have no idea.
Okay, rubber band.
I quit listening after I was just focusing on the first four.
Three. Well, thank you. Give him a hand. Okay. Basically, our memories are not that great, are they? No, that wasn't real fair, I understand. But you all had the benefit of seeing up there. But memory is an important thing. In fact, there are some things, if you forget them, that's not that big a deal. If you forget your umbrella and it's raining, you get a little wet. Not a big deal. You forget your wife's anniversary, she'll forgive you. But there's other things, if you forget them, there can be some pretty rough consequences. If you forget to set your alarm clock at night, you might miss class the next day, and there might be some grade effect there as well. If you forget to pay your taxes, you're still going to be accountable for them. Could be a problem. If you forget to stop at a stop sign, you could kill someone. So there are some things that if you forget them, have dire consequences. There are some things in God's Word that if we forget them, they have dire consequences. And I want to take a look at a group of people this morning who had a really rough memory. And I want to apply this to our lives. Let's begin by taking a look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. Let me just remind you what has just happened. The Israelites have been in Egypt, and God, with his powerful hand, has given the 10 plagues of Egypt and really devastated that very powerful country. And then they came out of Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea, and remember what happened? Water split right in front of them. Walk across on dry ground. They get across, and the Egyptian army is after them. They come down into the Red Sea, and what happens? God destroys the most powerful army in the world right in front of their eyes. Okay? And then the Bible says in verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's pray before we go any further. Our Father, we ask this morning that you would help us not just to remember, but also to take pains to put into place things that will remind us of what you have done for us and of the principles of your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I see here that the people believed God. And it says right there, they believed God and feared God. And now, right off the bat, that's probably pretty typical, don't you think? If you were one of those people, do you think you would have believed God after watching all that? Do you think you would have? Probably. There were probably some who still didn't truly believe God. And they were just going along and seeing all the miracles and things. But maybe they didn't truly believe. But for the most part, the people believed God. And let me just say, if you're here this morning, you probably would say you believe God. But if you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, taking the first step of believing God, let me challenge you not just to sit around and go through all the motions here. Believe God. God is the way. Jesus Christ is the only way. They believed God. But secondly, I also see that they blessed God. Right after that, in chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And Moses goes and sings this song, recounting how God has delivered them and praising God for it. And we ought to do that too. When God works in our life, we ought to praise him. And may I say, we ought to sing praise to him. But that's a whole nother message that we preached last year. But we need to be praising God. So they believed God. And they blessed God. Thirdly, I see that they bashed God. And some of you just kind of woke up and went, what? Bashed God? Really working hard at the alliteration there, isn't he? Okay. They bashed God. What do you mean? They just saw all this stuff. Well, take a look. Not long after this, after Miriam got up and sang a song, we come down to verse 22. The Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, wait a minute. Hadn't they just seen the powerful hand of God bring them out of Egypt? And yet they get out here. And you have to realize there are probably a million plus people and all these animals. They come to the place, they're trusting that Moses knows his way around the wilderness. They get to the place where there's water and it's toxic. They can't drink it. And they panic. And they say, oh no. They start thinking about what are we going to do if we don't have any water? They envision a real problem here. And so they panic and they say, Moses, what have you done? So God tells Moses to cut down a tree, it falls into the water, and it makes the bitter water sweet and drinkable. And so they can all drink. And they all go, wow, okay, now we trust God, right? Well, let's go on. The next chapter, chapter 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. We're going to die. Now, wait a minute. Hadn't they just seen the plagues in Egypt and the Red Sea opening and the army destroyed and the bitter water made sweet? Hadn't they just seen that? And yet they get a little bit further in their journey and they get hungry and they start thinking about, oh no, how are we going to have food for everybody? And they panic and they don't trust God. So you know what God does? Get this. God sends food out of the sky. Wow. Now, does that usually happen? No. That's called a what? A miracle. Right. God sends food out of the sky. Not just food. It's this really nice bread, honey-flavored bread. They just come out in the morning, pick it up, and eat it. Now, is that provision? I think so. Very clearly. No doubt about it. So now they all believe God, right? No, not necessarily. Some of them gathered too much. God had said, only take what you need for the day. Some of them didn't trust God. They hoarded it for the next day, and it stank, and there were problems there. But now everybody believes God, right? Well, wrong. Take a look at chapter 17. The end of the first verse says, and they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Does this sound like a broken record? What's going on here? Hadn't they just seen the deliverance in Egypt, the Egyptian army destroyed, the bitter water made sweet, food out of the sky? And yet they still don't get it. And so get this. God tells Moses to go over to a rock. We realize that this is a picture. But he basically says, Moses, hit the rock. So Moses goes to this rock and hits it, and water comes gushing out of the rock. Does that happen? No, that's called a what? A miracle. And water gushes out enough to feed all of these people and all of their cattle, and now they trust God, right? Wrong. We can go on and see how these people did not take into account all of the things that God had done in their lives and apply it to their future. Their memory was terrible. They did not keep God's faithfulness and deliverance at the forefront of their mind. They forgot God's goodness. Now, let's just make some application in our lives to this. We say, oh yes, God, you have saved me. By your grace, you have given me life eternal through Jesus Christ. What an incredible miracle. And we've seen God answer prayer in bringing us along. But don't we often then panic when something comes up and we think, oh no, how am I going to pay this bill? Or how am I going to handle this situation? Everything's going to blow up. And we begin to panic. May I suggest this morning, we need to be reminded of what God has done for us in the past. Remember what God has done. This was a detriment to these people, and it cost them dearly. Most of them died in the wilderness as a result. So how do you do that? Okay, yeah, let's remember what God did. How do you do that? May I show you a couple places where God did some things to help his people remember? Turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. We find now it is many years later. Most of those people have died. But Joshua is now taking the Israelites into Canaan, the conquest of Canaan. But as they do, they come to the Jordan River. And sure enough, it's flooding across there, and God parts the Jordan River. But as they walk across, look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What does he do here? He says, take some stones out of the river, and I want you to go and I want you to build a monument to remind you of what God did here. So he says, so that when your children come and say, what are those stones? You can tell them And you can be reminded of what God has done in your life. This was a physical, tangible Ebenezer. You can find that in 1 Samuel. A memorial to remind them of God's deliverance. Turn over with me to the end of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua comes to the end of his life. They've had great conquest in Canaan. But Joshua is concerned that the people continue following the Lord. He asks them to take a covenant. But then take a look at Joshua 24, starting with verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. He says, I want you to be reminded of the covenant that you have made here today. Don't forget. They set up reminders of God's past deliverance and goodness, and they set up a reminder of God's words in their life. Now, I want to ask you, how can you apply that to your life? Do you ever forget about what God has talked to you about? What God, a principle that God is working in your life? Do you ever forget that and it costs you? Yes, we all have. May I remind you that God gives us his word, but also commands us to remember it. How do we do that? Listen to these words in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Okay? So, be reminded of this. But then, listen to what he says. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. What is that? That is your daily routine. God says, I want you to put what I say into your daily routine. He says there, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Some Jews would actually take and put that in a wooden box and stick it right up there, literally. God wants them to remember. And he says, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Why? Because we forget. Listen to what he says after that. It shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee good and great cities which thou buildest not, and houses filled with all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Put God's word into your daily routine so that you will not forget. That's my challenge this morning. What can we do in our daily routine to be reminded of God's word? We won't take the time, but we could take suggestions this morning. How can you do that? One suggestion would be, why don't we have a time each day where we hear the preaching of God's word? Chapel. Hey, that's a great idea. Reminded of what God's saying to us. How about your screensaver on your computer or a wallpaper on your phone? You know, if you're like me, there are times when you read God's word in the morning. Maybe God shows us something from his word and you think, great. And you close up. You go through the rest of the day and you don't think about God or his word much anymore. May I challenge us to put some sort of reminders in our daily schedule to remember God's word. Some would bow their head and pray before they would eat. That's a great reminder of the goodness of God. Others may do other things. We won't take the time, but let me ask you to think, where in your day are you reminded of God's word? Do you remind each other? I was going through some archives of 70s and 80s chapel messages from Maranatha. And I found one from a guy, you probably have never heard his name. His name was Reuben Ewart. And this guy preached a message that I will never forget. He said, I want to challenge you to find someone else that will ask you each day, what did you get out of the word today? And so we implemented that in a traveling team that I was on. We started doing that. You know what? First of all, it kept us accountable. If we didn't have our time, we would just say, no, I haven't done that. But it also helped us verbalize what God said to us and reminded us and reaffirmed in our hearts what God had said to us that day. Maybe it's posters. Maybe it's verses in your dorm room. Whatever it is, look for opportunities to put God's word into your daily schedule. Whatever it takes. Why? Because we forget. We forget. Now, I've spent the time this morning on what and how we should do it. Let me just remind you of a few things to be careful not to forget. First of all, don't forget God's love. I know we all know God loves us. Romans chapter 8, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, right? But when you're all alone and you're away from home and you feel like nobody cares and your teachers hate you and all this stuff's going on, you're having this thought of nobody cares. Remember, God loves you. And that's not just a saying. That is true. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Take heart. Be encouraged. Remember God's time. I mentioned it. Remember the time each day that you spend, not in a class study, but personally coming to God. Romans 10:17. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So build your faith personally. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. You want the great and mighty stuff? Call unto him. But you've got to set aside a time for that in your daily routine. Remember God's love. Remember God's time. Remember God's house. It's not real hard to do here at Maranatha because you're required to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But when you go home on break or when you graduate, when you're away from here and the accountability that way is gone, don't neglect God's house. You know, it's sad. There are people, I think of a guy right now I went to high school with, a Christian high school, came to Maranatha, all the way through Maranatha with, went out into the youth ministry, but then took a different job and then started missing church. Things kind of went a different direction, and now he just has nothing to do with the things of God. I saw him quite a while ago. I talked to him and I asked him, you know, how are things going? He said, oh, yeah, things are great. You know, I'm selling cars and doing all this good stuff. But then when we turn the conversation to something spiritual, everything's kind of getting hazy, kind of nebulous, kind of like a foreign concept to him. You know why? Well, there's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is he's away from God's word. He's away from God's people. He's away from God's house. Don't neglect being with God's people. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? So that you can exhort one another. Exhort each other with what? That Jesus Christ is coming back. And that we need to be living according to his word. Reminding one another. Don't forget God's house. God's time. God's love. Don't forget God's work. You know, it is easy to get involved in ministry and to get disillusioned and on the border of burnout because you don't remember why you're doing what you're doing. May I challenge you, when you get out this weekend and you have that youth activity and those teenagers are absolute jerks and you're going, what is the deal here? And parents don't understand and nobody else understands and you're just going, why am I doing this? May I remind you of 1 Corinthians 15:58? Wherefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is worth it. And even though it may seem to you like nobody's getting it and nothing's going right, remember this. If you are doing it for the Lord, it is not in vain. You need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. God is faithful to take account of your service to Him for Him. Don't forget God's work. Finally, this morning, let me challenge you to remember God's sacrifice. Don't forget what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and the amazing life that we have with Him as a result of that. Why do I mention that? Because we forget. In fact, God even put together something for us to do to remember that. It's called communion, right? This do in remembrance of me. Why? Because we forget. So the challenge this morning is, how is your spiritual memory? If I ask Colton, can you name those words for me? Probably not. But what happens if I were to put them up in front of you, up here on the screen, right now? You can remember them. They're right there, right? So the challenge is, look for opportunities to put God's past deliverance, God's word, in front of you each day so that you can be reminded. Let's have every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Just before I pray, with no one looking around, may I challenge you to think right now something you can put in your schedule that may not be there right now that will remind you of God's word. What is it? May I challenge you to do that today? Because we forget. Our Father, we are so thankful for your deliverance. We thank you for your provision. And Lord, as we look at the children of Israel, we're reminded that it's easy to forget. And so, Father, I pray that you'd remind us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that can help us with that. Lord, we thank you for your word to base our life off of. And God, I pray that you would give us wisdom in putting your word into our daily habits. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.